Hartung has some good fun with the Book of Revelation, which is certainly one of the weirdest books in the Bible. It is supposed to have been written by St. John, and as Ken's Guide to the Bible neatly put it, if his epistles can be seen as John on pot, then Revelation is John on acid. Hartung draws attention to the two verses in Revelation where the number of those sealed, which some sects, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, interpret to mean saved, is limited to 144,000. Hartung's point is that they all had to be Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Ken Smith goes further, pointing out that the 144,000 elect did not defile themselves with women, which presumably means that none of them could be women. Well, that's the sort of thing we've come to expect. There's a lot more in Hartung's entertaining paper. I shall simply recommend it once more and summarise it in a quotation.
The Bible is a blueprint of in-group morality, complete with instructions for genocide, enslavement of out-groups, and world domination. But the Bible is not evil by virtue of its objectives or even its glorification of murder, cruelty, and rape. Many ancient works do that. The Iliad, the Icelandic sagas, the tales of the ancient Syrians, and the inscriptions of the ancient Mayans, for example. But no one is selling the Iliad as a foundation for morality. Therein lies the problem. The Bible is sold and bought as a guide to how people should live their lives. And it is by far the world's all-time bestseller.
Lest it be thought that the exclusiveness of traditional Judaism is unique among religions, look at the following confident verse from a hymn by Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748.
Lord, I ascribe it to thy grace, and not to chance, as others do, that I was born of Christian race, and not a heathen or a Jew.
What puzzles me about this verse is not the exclusiveness per se, but the logic. Since plenty of others were born into religions other than Christianity, how did God decide which future people should receive such favoured birth? Why favour Isaac Watts and those individuals whom he visualised singing his hymn? In any case, before Isaac Watts was conceived, what was the nature of the entity being favoured? These are deep waters, but perhaps not too deep for a mind tuned to theology. Isaac Watts's hymn is reminiscent of three daily prayers that male Orthodox and conservative, but not Reform, Jews are taught to recite.
Blessed are you for not making me a Gentile. Blessed are you for not making me a woman. Blessed are you for not making me a slave.
Religion is undoubtedly a divisive force, and this is one of the main accusations levelled against it. But it is frequently and rightly said that wars and feuds between religious groups or sects are seldom actually about theological disagreements. When an Ulster Protestant paramilitary murders a Catholic, he is not muttering to himself,
"Take that, transubstantiationist, mariolatrous, incense-reeking bastard."
He is much more likely to be avenging the death of another Protestant killed by another Catholic, perhaps in the course of a sustained transgenerational vendetta. Religion is a label of in-group, out-group enmity and vendetta, not necessarily worse than other labels such as skin colour, language or preferred football team, but often available when other labels are not. Yes, yes, of course, the troubles in Northern Ireland are political. There really has been an economic and political oppression of one group by another, and it goes back centuries. There really are genuine grievances and injustices, and these seem to have little to do with religion,